You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And yes, it's a disappointing end to the season for the Missouri Tigers, but I think a lot of fans could probably use a little bit of perspective right now and realize that, you know what, anytime a season ends with an NCAA tournament appearance, that's a successful season for Missouri, regardless of what your feelings are about Konzo Martin. And boy, people on Facebook groups sure have some really strong opinions about Konzo Martin. And I mentioned the Facebook groups because, my goodness, that's an older crowd, right? I thought the youngsters on Twitter were supposed to be full of all that bile, but apparently the boomer crowd has it in them as well. Now, I will admit, I did predict a Missouri victory here. Not really strongly, that's for darn sure. I admitted that you're just a crappy fan if you don't take your team in an 8-9 matchup in your bracket. But I will say this game is exactly what I and many other people predicted, which is a Missouri game where they get off to a fast start, maybe. They look really good at one point. Of course, Missouri led 14-7 about 6 minutes into this ball game. Then they proceeded to score just 13 points the rest of that half over that next 14 minutes. And, you know, that's just become all too typical for Missouri, hasn't it? Where they just go through these massive, massive droughts of offensive basketball where they just don't get good shots. It's obviously Missouri's shot making leaves a bit to be desired at times. But the real problem with these droughts is they just don't get good shots. It's as simple as that. But of course, as predicted as well, the game did come down to the wire. Oklahoma wins the game by 4. Obviously, it was close the entire way. But, you know, considering me and John Williams at Locked On Sooners spent a decent amount of time breaking down the matchups and how Oklahoma was going to guard Jeremiah Tillman, well, I'd say Oklahoma did pretty well. And they did it with Kerr Queff, their only true center really on the roster, playing just 7 minutes. They did it mostly with Brady Manick actually just playing behind Tillman. And yes, they would swarm him with double teams a lot as predicted. But Manick was able to stay out of foul trouble and obviously shot the basketball really, really well on the other end, knocking down 5 3-pointers. And some of them were decently guarded. I thought Kobe Brown put a hand in his face a lot, but, you know, Manick at 6'9" with that high release, you better be all over him if you're going to get him off that 3-point line. He's an excellent shooter. But even though Tillman finished the game with 16 points, he made over 50% of his field goals and 4 of 6 from the foul line too. Not a bad line statistically, but it just never felt like he was able to take over the game like maybe he wanted. And there was also just some missed opportunities out there on the floor for him. Not saying he played badly whatsoever, but still, you know, once again, since his leave of absence, you know, Tillman just hasn't been quite the same guy, and certainly this whole Missouri team hasn't been quite the same. And that certainly isn't a criticism, that's much more of an observation, because, listen, 2020, 2021, this whole pandemic period, and all the other things that have been going on in our lives, quite honestly, it's been a stressful period, or at least it certainly can be a stressful period for all of us. And, well, we know Jeremiah has lost a couple of his closest family members, 2 grandmas in this last year. And, you know, we know Jeremiah has a pretty close-knit family, too. So who knows what's going on in his mind? And I just want all these guys, including Jeremiah Tillman, to know that, yes, while this has been a disappointing finish to the season, I personally, as a season ticket holder, as a guy who went to 95% of those home games, I loved this team. I really did. I enjoyed watching these guys play basketball every single week. I looked forward to going to the arena every time this year, because even though you knew it was probably going to be frustrating at times, you knew you were going to get a bunch of guys who played hard, that care about themselves, this team, and each other, and this university. I really felt that from this squad, even though obviously the finish was really disappointing, and, you know, I wish it could have been better, no doubt about it. At the same time, I do think we have to ask some hard questions about this team and this roster moving forward. And I think we have to start with Xavier Pinson and his, what seems from the outside anyway, to be a somewhat fractured relationship at this point with Konzo Martin. Now, maybe fractured is a little bit hard. Maybe it's just slightly severed. I don't know. They clearly don't seem on the same page because Pinson, clearly one of Missouri's two or three most talented players at times, Pinson is one of Missouri's best players. But in the finish of the season, Pinson didn't even play half the game last night. That's hard to deal with, quite honestly, for me as a fan, and I'm sure it's hard for him to deal with as a player. And I want to talk more about Pinson, but you know what? On the happy side, I personally had quite the last couple days, the first 2 days of the tournament, in fact, over at betonline.ag because I had a theory. And that was this. I was going to take the under, bet $10 on the under on every single game in the first round of the tournament. Because I was sitting around looking at betonline.ag while the first game of the tournament was underway. I believe it was Florida and Virginia Tech. And I started thinking, you know, the struggle to 30 in these first halves is really real in this tournament. The first four, those games, low scoring. The Florida Virginia Tech game, low scoring. I just thought, what the heck? Let's go all these unders. Well, guess what? I hit about 65% of them. So we're looking with a nice profit over at betonline.ag. And if you want to profit, well, go there now. Sign up for a free account. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And whatever sports news comes at us on Sunday, certainly lots of tournament action still to go today and tomorrow. Well, they'll have it all for you on the Locked On Today podcast. Check them out wherever you get your pods. There was a moment in that basketball game yesterday, and pardon me for not having this in any, I didn't take any notes yesterday. I had people over at my house. I just felt like it would be rude to be typing away on my computer during the entire game. So I just took it in as a fan. And, you know, there was one moment, though, I think it was early in the second half, where somebody for Oklahoma beat Xavier Pinson off the dribble, blew him by quite easily, to be honest with you. And at that moment, I kind of knew Konzo's probably done with this guy for the rest of the game. And sure enough, it was mostly the Drew Bug show from there on out. And you can tell something about Konzo Martin that's quite obvious. If you don't play defense, he doesn't like you at all. Ask Trey Jackson, by the way. And you know what? Trey Jackson didn't get a lot of minutes at Seton Hall this year, so maybe Konzo was right about Trey. On the other hand, why did he recruit him in the first place? There's another good question. But back to Xavier Pinson. I digress there a little bit. The thing with Pinson is, yes, he is not a great defender at times. He definitely can get exploited, beat off the dribble, and frankly, just his lack of size can be exploited at times too. But you know what else can be exploited? Mark Smith's terrible offense the last few weeks, and yet he keeps getting minutes and minutes and minutes. Now, obviously, Mark played a good game last night. In fact, we probably should have maybe run a few more plays for Mark at a certain point. He knocked down 3 3-pointers in the early part of that game, but only took 5 overall and 7 shots. Frankly, we needed to get him more action. Now, obviously, Drew Smith was the best offense, especially late in the game when Missouri was in desperation mode. Drew was doing an excellent job of, you know, frankly, taking over, hitting step-back three-pointers, kind of being the offensive focal point that he often isn't. Usually, he's just a, hey, I'm going to let it come to me guy, but you know what he always is the Iron Man. Once again, Drew playing 39 minutes last night in what is almost certainly the last game of his college career. And honestly, as much as I've been an Xavier Pinson fan, and as much as I'm a ride or die with your best players, that's generally going to be my mentality. And certainly Xavier Pinson is much more talented than Drew Bugs. But honestly, when I didn't disagree with what Konzo did last night. I really didn't, because if Pinson is going to be as passive off the dribble as he's been the last few weeks, as he mostly was last night too, well, then what's he really providing you? He was 0 of 3 from downtown. He just didn't look engaged offensively. And again, he's one of our worst defenders. He probably is our worst defensive player on the team. So what are we doing here? If we're trying to advance and actually win an NCAA tournament game for the first time since, what, 2010? Well, then I don't blame Konzo Martin for actually putting Bugs out there because, well, Missouri was probably better with him on the floor. Again, I haven't read any advanced stat pieces or anything. I've read nothing so far. I'm going in here blind and just telling you how I felt about this game as a fan. And honestly, again, I know I overuse the word honestly, right? So quite frankly, I didn't disagree with what Konzo did last night, despite the fact that more often than not, I would want to ride or die with Pinson. But to me, the last few weeks, he's kind of lost the benefit of the doubt. Now, speaking of Pinson and guys who could potentially come back next season, well, obviously, technically, everyone could come back next season. But we saw Drew Smith's beautiful fiance shown a lot during that game last night. I think it's pretty obvious he's not going to force her to spend another year in Columbia. I think they're going to move on with their lives for sure, move past college. And I would think same deal with Jeremiah Tillman, Mitchell Smith, who's obviously had a long college experience at this point, and maybe Drew Bugs could come back, I suppose. Again, he's a guy who's been in college for a while now at this point. I would assume they'd all move on. But Xavier Pinson, well, I wouldn't blame you for assuming that he would come back, right? He's only a junior. He certainly isn't an NBA player at this point. Can we maybe figure out the deal with, I don't know, whatever is going on in Pinson's head these days? I think we could, but boy, the feeling I'm getting around the program, just reading the beat writers, reading the tea leaves as best I can, is that it sure seems like he's not going to come back. I would frankly love to see Xavier Pinson come back. I would love to see him have his senior season at Mizzou, have that senior day celebration, get the jersey in the frame, the whole deal. I just would love to see him have that experience. And frankly, as a basketball player, I think he needs one more year. And that's not about playing in the NBA. Really, it's about playing professionally in overseas. Listen, we've seen Marcus Denman, lots of guys have had great careers, really lucrative careers doing that. You don't have to play in the NBA to play professional basketball for a long time. That's something Pinson can do, for sure, but he still has a lot he needs to work on, and not just on the basketball court, but I think pretty obviously some maturity as a young man as well. I think he could really benefit from one more year in college, but we'll see what happens. And you know what? We'll see what happens in Mizzou football come 2021. And I was able to take in the spring football game yesterday before the Tigers played in the NCAA tournament. It was a nice day in Columbia. And I'll have some quick thoughts on that. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar. And of course, you know that Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, an amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all its bars. But now, yes, now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best in Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is blank, 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 because it's Sunday. There is no matchup. So check it out on Monday by going to BuiltBar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter. And by the way, definitely get the coconut brownie when those come back in stock. By the way, Built Bar, get those back in stock. That's probably your best flavor in my opinion. But I also like the peanut butter one too. Just find out which one you like best. You can try them all. Get a variety pack. But whatever you order, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who has won the next matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Are you ready for the NFL draft? Well, I bet our buddy Nick Bolton is. And if you want to find out more about the NFL draft, definitely check out Trevor Sikma and Benjamin Solak's podcast. They've got mock drafts, rankings, guests, the whole deal. So follow Locked On the NFL Draft podcast on radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, when it comes to 100% pure football takes, kind of tough to do that in a scrimmage, right? You never know what exactly they're showing. And this also wasn't a pure scrimmage. The guys didn't just line up and play four quarters of football this time. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to draft a black team and draft a gold team, and then we're going to go out and actually play a real football game, by God. That's what Missouri's done in the past. That wasn't what happened yesterday. It was a lot more, there was a lot of drills that happened at first. And by drills, I mean, guys weren't lining up and hitting the sled. It wasn't that boring, I promise you. In fact, this was actually the first spring game that I didn't leave early. Now, I certainly don't attend the spring game every single year, but basically, if it's nice weather, as it was yesterday, I'll usually saunter on down to Faurot Field and check it out for a while. And usually I'll leave at halftime. But this whole thing only took about 2 hours, and it was quite breezy, quite honestly. They were smart to do what they did, to not have an actual football game, and to just do one-on-one passing drills. It was like, okay, you'd have the quarterbacks rotate in and out, a defensive back and a receiver would rotate in and out, and you'd just get to see them go one-on-one, running different routes. It was actually kind of fun to watch. And then once that was over, the team would quickly shift into its next thing. They went into a red zone period where they did sort of non-live tackling red zone situations, offense and defense, did that for a while. Then again, you know, they'd quickly switch the quarterbacks in and out. And by the way, speaking of quarterbacks, hard to know what to make of Tyler Macon so far, of course. You know, he had some good throws, maybe some shaky moments too, but guess what? He was in high school about 3 months ago, so let's not make any grand declarations on him just yet. Couldn't help but notice that he's wearing number 10, though. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's the first quarterback for Missouri to have the balls to wear that number since Chase Daniel, so I don't know. I like that. Maybe call me an over-analyzer, but I like that. I really do. And then to finish off the day, they did do some actual live tackling series, offense versus defense, of course. But one thing of note, no matter what was happening, basically some DJ was playing music the entire time while football was happening, whether it was live drills or whether it was actual live tackling, scrimmaging, whatever you want to call it. And honestly, God, there I go. I said honestly again. I should slap myself in the face every time I say that word. But you know what? Even I, as a 38-year-old man, and I was there with my folks, they were cool with the music. They were like, you know, this kind of made it fun. I mean, we're not asking for music to be played during actual football games. But again, for the spring game, you're just trying to keep the whole thing moving and a little bit entertaining. I thought it was great. And we kept it right at 2 hours. I thought it was a really entertaining event, again, that I didn't leave early. They even finished it off with two-point plays, coaches versus coaches. Eli was even smart enough to stay out of that himself, and also when the first one didn't work, the second one was tackled short of the one-yard line, they gave him the score anyway because they was like, okay, let's go home. Because once again, it's interesting to me that Eli sort of realizes clearly, or somebody that he's hired realizes it, or Eli Drinkwitz realized, okay, it's the spring game. Yes, scrimmages, drills. Ultimately, this is kind of boring, but if we keep it moving, keep it under 2 hours, keep a little DJ music going in the background, fool people into thinking this is more fun than it really is. Hey, it was a great event. I really had a blast with it. And thanks to all the concession workers and everything. So, hey, I had a good time at it for Faurot Field. That's my main takeaway there. Even, by the way, speaking of entertainment, first red zone possession, either the first or second snap, we got a Keke Chisholm wide receiver pass, so it wasn't all vanilla, that's for darn sure, but that is probably a play Missouri's ran before, but still, I enjoyed it, and really the one football-related takeaway that I have, maybe a couple, is I mentioned the red zone before. Well, Missouri wasn't particularly good in the red zone in those drills. Scored one touchdown, at least a couple, I think. I know Tyler Macon ran one into the end zone during live tackling, but overall, though, I don't want to overanalyze that. And one thing you can tell for sure, Mookie Cooper, the Ohio State transfer, at the very least, he is going to be quite the jet sweep option. Jalen Knox, he may have usurped your jet sweep position. I hate to say it because Mookie looks like quite the runner around the end. But ultimately, just a fun day at Faurot Field. Nothing to overanalyze there, but it just seems like, once again, Eli Drinkwitz and the whole program just kind of gets it right now. That's a really nice thing to see. On just about every level, they seem to get it. And frankly, if you didn't enjoy this Missouri basketball season, even though it was a disappointing finish, I'm not sure that you get it either. I'm not sure that college basketball is for you if you're really, really that upset about Mizzou this season. Now, next season, what does Konzo Martin have coming back? Well, that's a massive, massive question mark, and we'll have to see where this program is moving forward. Certainly, they're going to have to hit the transfer market with at least one or two additions, I would say, this offseason. But you know what? We'll worry about that later. For now, I'd just like to once again say thank you to this Missouri basketball team. I really enjoyed watching them play, and you know what? I think I'll enjoy watching Kobe Brown, Javon Pickett, and the rest of these guys in the future. So, until next time, I am John Miller, and this has been Locked on Mizzou.